Thank you, Glenn. I would appreciate your prayers this night. I guess this is the third time I've preached, and it really isn't that much easier. I guess maybe a little easier, but still pretty difficult. So definitely appreciate your prayers and your thoughts at this time. I have a simple message. That was one of the pieces of advice given to me, and start out with simple messages. And it's going to be on trusting God. That's the title of my sermon. I had a little bit of a hard time preparing it. I guess it comes with time and comes with experience. But hopefully I'll be able to fill up at least 15 or 20 minutes. So we'll see. No promises, though. So, I have, like I said, this main topic of trusting in God. And for me, sometimes I forget exactly what that means. So I looked up the definition of trust. That's what I usually do for my English papers, is I start out and I try to look up the definition of exactly what I'm going to be writing. And I thought I'd try that and see if it works. So the definition of, let's see if I can find it, of trust in Webster's dictionary is a reliance on integrity or reliability of a person or thing. It also says in confident expectation or to depend upon. Sometimes I like to, like I said, start my English papers with that, and just so I can get an idea, and maybe it'll help you kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. This sermon, it'll mostly probably seem redundant for some reason. Most of the scriptures sound about the same. There's about four, I think, maybe five different sections I have to go through, and just about different parts of trust and trusting God. Let's see here. The first thing I'd like to do is kind of just read a couple scriptures about trusting God. I'm going to start out in Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Isaiah 26, and starting in the third verse. And it says in the third, and I'll be reading the third and fourth verses. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And kind of my thoughts on that were, these verses are given some instructions that we are rely on God and to trust Him, and that He will be our strength and our peace. I thought that was kind of important. I think this is a good verse to illustrate our need for trusting in the Lord, because we do need to trust the Lord in even our very daily lives and sustaining us. Let's see. This is a good verse to remember also if we're going through a hard time in our life, that if we trust in the Lord, that He will grant us that peace, which only He can give. The next verse I'd like to turn to is in the third chapter of Proverbs. Third chapter of Proverbs, starting in verse 5 and 6. Like I said, this is just kind of setting a stage or just getting some thoughts on trusting the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And this is a fairly popular scripture. It says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What I do is I write down kind of my thoughts at the time when I'm studying on the paper. So at least for now, that's the way I do it. So it may take me a couple seconds to get where I'm at. I've always liked this passage and the wisdom that it shares. Here again we have a commandment to put our trust in the Lord, and then a promise, and that's that He will direct our paths. The main thing I want to begin with is that, let's see, the main thing I want to bring out is it says to trust in Him with all our heart. And that's an important factor of it, I guess, is trusting in Him, not just kind of or sort of, but with all our heart. And I guess when it says with all your heart, it means, I guess if you let's see, what's a good example? If you're going to read the Bible with all your heart, you're going to do it every day, and you're going to stick with it. And I guess if you're going to trust the Lord, you need to stick with that too. And it's more than just a flippant thing, you know, trusting Him with all your heart. And let's see. This is an important because we humans don't see the big picture, the big plan, and our understanding is not that of God's. It says not to walk in your own understanding. His understanding is such greater. That's one of the reasons we need to trust in Him. This kind of brings me to my, I guess, my first real section, and it is the Lord has been tried and has come through. I mean, we have examples in the Scriptures, many examples where the Lord has given promises and He has came through on them. He has, for many people, He has helped them in times of need. I guess the first example I'm going to have comes from Psalms 18. Psalms 18, second and third verse, and then skipping to the 30th and the 31st verse. It says, "The Lord is my rock," starting in the second verse, the 18th chapter of Psalms. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and my horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now skipping to verse 30 and 31. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God?" And this is David writing after the Lord had delivered him from his enemies, like when Saul was pursuing him, and he's writing this psalm of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And to me, this is just an example, and I thought we could use it as an example of a time when the Lord came through and He protected David, not only this time, but many times in his life. Let's see where, let me go from here. Another example is found in the sermon this morning when Glenn was talking about Paul, and when he got shipwrecked with all the prisoners, and if he hadn't have trusted the Lord, or the people, the other people on the ship hadn't trusted what Paul said that the Lord told him through the angel, then if he hadn't have trusted that, then they would have, most of them or all of them would have drowned at sea, or got, some of them would have gotten killed in the shipwreck. So we see that there's another example of what the Lord said to Paul. And it came through, and it came through for him. And I'm trying to kind of draw a comparison to our lives and just how we can learn from this stuff, these different examples, and apply them to our lives. And basically saying that the Lord will come through for us too. Let's see. There's also an example in chapter 26 of Alma. I don't think I'm going to turn to it. It's of the 2,000 sons of Helaman, the inexperienced sons of the people of Ammon. And they had been harassed by the Lamanites for a long time. And their parents had made the covenant not to fight or to take up arms against anybody. And so their sons hadn't made that covenant. So they went out to battle these Lamanites who were destroying their people. And my example in this would be they trusted the Lord and trusted what their mothers had told him. And they ended up going to battle. It's a really cool story. It's one of my favorite stories ever, actually. They went to battle. They are inexperienced. They never fought. Probably 18 years old, 17. I don't know exactly. And fought with these hardened warriors. And all kinds of stuff happened where they were pursued. And then the Lamanites turned back on them. And at the end, Helaman, which was the commander, had said, he was worried. Because he thought many of the sons may have been killed because they're inexperienced. And none of them were killed, not one. I mean, some of them were wounded, many of them were wounded, but none of them were killed. So I think that's a good example of, again, when the Lord came through and he protected those that trusted on him. Let's see here. The next section deals with trusting God and not putting your trust in things of the world, such as not putting your trust in the arm of flesh. Or in monetary things. Let's see. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let's see. The 10th chapter of Mark. And we're going to read, let's see. This is when, this is the story of the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and he said, what lack I, I've kept all the commandments and obeyed my parents and all that from my youth. And Jesus told him, sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. And he went away, grieved, because he has had a lot of wealth. And then down here in the 24th verse of the 10th chapter of Mark is where I'll begin, I believe. And it says, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And let's see what I have here. 21st verse. I think that when we think of rich, we think of someone like the Queen of England or Bill Gates or someone with, that has a lot of wealth and money. But I think that we can safely say that each one of us here in the United States, compared to most places and the most places where people live in the world, are rich. And we're rich because this is a promised land. But I think that each one of us must be careful not to trust in these earthly treasures. That's also another part of it, is not laying up your treasures on earth, but laying up your treasures in heaven. Let's see here. We can see an example of what happens when people lay up their treasures on earth. It's September 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers fell in New York, and the economy came to a standstill, and people that had hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in stocks and bonds had nothing. And a lot of people, you hear about suicides and all kinds of stuff because they didn't lay up their treasures in heaven. And that's kind of my point in this, is not trusting in those riches, because it's an earthly thing. Tomorrow they might be gone. You don't know what's going to happen. Let's see. The other part of trusting in, is not trusting in the arm of flesh. Now this kind of leads me to 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter. Chapter 12, I think it's just the 41st verse. We'll see. Let's see. I guess I wrote down the wrong reference. That's okay. This kind of hits home. Ah, maybe it wasn't. Wait, let me check on something right quick. It might have been Nahum, which is a minor prophet, but I don't remember. Anyway, it didn't matter much. What it basically said is, you're cursed if you trust in the armor of flesh, because man will fail you, is basically what it said. Verse 39 of chapter 12. All right. Thank you. I just wrote it down wrong somehow. I don't know exactly. Lost in translation, I guess. Yeah, that's it. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Thanks. Like I said, this kind of hits home to me because I think of the United States and I think of our armies and our navy and all the technology we have, and you know, I think, you know, we could handle anybody on the face of the earth, and that's a pretty prideful American attitude. It's what a lot of people have. But I kind of remember what one of Joel's sermons back a couple months ago when he was talking about Babylon. I believe it was Joel's sermons, and how it fell in one night. The strongest, mightiest empire on earth fell in one night. And some people say that we're the strongest, mightiest empire on earth. So just something to think of not trusting in the arm of flesh, because it won't save you. God will save you. And that's who we need to trust. Let's see here. So, like I was saying, I have to remind myself, especially, not to trust in the arm of flesh. And as you guys know, I like shooting and that kind of stuff. And, you know, maybe sometimes let myself trust in it too much, but I think it's a good thing not to. Let's go to this next section, and it says, not fearing what man can do to you, and but to trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. My first scripture is in Psalms 118. And as I was studying, I found a lot of stuff in Psalms, a lot more scriptures than I have here, but I don't know, a lot of good stuff in Psalms. Psalms 118. This is just another scripture where David is, it's a testimony of David on how the Lord protected him against his enemies. And it is starting in verse 4 of Psalms 118. And it will go through verse 10, I believe. We'll see. It says, starting in verse 4, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answer me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. And I stop right there for a second. And it says, and I will not fear. The Lord is on my side and I will not fear. I really like that. Because if we're doing what we should be and righteous, the Lord will be on our side and there is nothing to fear. And then I'll go on to verse 6. It says, what can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. This is another one that I kind of liked. Verse 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. And it goes on down, talking about nations compassing them about, and along the same line of thinking. And I don't know, I put this in here because it's just a good example of the Lord protecting them and not fearing what man can do unto you. Let's see. I'm going to turn to another scripture. I'm going to go through about three of these pretty quick, through these scriptures. This one's in Hebrews chapter 13. Like I said, a lot of these overlap the scriptures, and it may sound redundant, but this is kind of what I prayed about and I felt I was led to speak about. So, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. And I'm going to mostly focus on the second part of verse 5 and 6. It says, excuse me, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he that said, I will never leave thee, nor yet forsake thee, so that we may boldly..." This is what I want to focus on mostly right here. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And this is another good example of scripture that states that, you know, God will never leave you alone. And if you're doing what you should be, you're righteous, that you shouldn't fear what man can do unto you. Because a lot of the apostles of old, they suffered persecutions, and all of them except one died for the cause of Christ. And but the point is not fearing what man can do unto you. Let's see here. I also like the, it says that God will be our helper. And a helper, you know, is someone that almost you could interpret a helper as someone that takes your hand and leads you and helps you over hard spots. So that's another good point I wanted to bring forth. I'd like to go to 2 Nephi, verse 12. Let's see. Or chapter 12, verse 90. That's better. Let's see if I have this one right. And this kind of drifts into my last topic that I have on this, and that's the promises. If we trust Him, many examples of that, different things. You know, I think I've come to the realization that to prepare a sermon, at least for me right now, it's a 1-to-5 ratio, 1 hour to 5 minutes. So that's about... it's about right, maybe even more than that. So, but I heard someone say last time that, you know, no one complains at a short sermon, so we'll see. All right, this is 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verse 90. It says, "For the time speedily cometh that the Lord shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire." That's just always, I've always liked that verse, because it really comes out and tells the seriousness of it. You know, if the Lord must, then he will destroy the wicked by fire. And it's that serious. He'll preserve the righteous. Let's see. There are many examples of his protection. For instance, I won't tell the whole story because you guys have heard it several times before, I'm sure. But about our brother Michael in Africa, and about when he was preaching. And in the back of the congregation would be the doors, just like this, and that would be outside. And some men, I don't know, 3, 4, I don't know how many exactly, came. And they started making trouble and started, you know, and he could really tell that the intent, they had knives and stuff, and they could tell the intent was to disrupt the service and to do him harm. And he kept preaching. I can't remember all the details of it, but he kept preaching. And eventually what happened is, instead of killing him, they killed the leader of the guys that were trying to get him. Amongst themselves, the bad guys killed the leader, stayed for the rest of the service, and Michael ended up preaching the funeral service for the guy that was coming to kill him, and witnessed to hundreds of people about the church. If Michael hadn't trusted in the Lord, possibly we wouldn't have more members there today, because he trusted that the Lord had control and that it was in his hands, and didn't fear what men could do unto him, that he was blessed for it, and the work was blessed for it. So that was just another example that we can relate to that's in our time. Let's see. That also brings back my point of that he has promised us protection, and he makes good on those promises. Many times I've been protected, all the stupid stuff I've done, and still am alive today, I guess. So, Mosiah 13 will be my next scripture. You know what? I think I'm going to make a motion next business meeting to take down that clock, because it stares me right in the face and I hate it. All right. Mosiah 13, verse 27. Let's see. What did I have for this one? Yeah, okay. Chapter 13 of the book of Mosiah, starting in, I think, just the 27th verse, it says, "And thus doth the Lord work with his power in all cases among the children of men, extending the arm of mercy toward them that put their trust in him." Mercy is a good thing. We all like mercy. You know, when you're a kid, you may do something and you're shown mercy for it. Like you steal a piece of candy or something, you still have to give it back, but at least they don't take you outside and whip you or something. But mercy is a good thing. We all enjoy that. And let's see what I have written down here for it. I like this scripture because it is plain, right to the point. I mean, it doesn't really need a lot of explaining. You trust in the Lord and his arm of mercy will be extended. And also, the other thing I could take from the scripture and we can use in the scripture is that first part. And it says, "And thus doth the Lord work with his power in all cases among the children of men." That kind of, to me, means that, the Lord is working with us. And it's not like he's some deity off 10 billion miles away or something. That he's active in the hearts of the children of men. That's just the other thing I kind of took from that scripture. Let's see. It reassures us that God's acting in our daily lives. Another scripture that holds a great promise is a couple of pages back in chapter 2. More than a couple pages, but chapter 2. Let's see. Of Mosiah. Chapter 2 of Mosiah, starting in verse 9. This is to me one of the greatest promises that we have. Chapter 2 of Mosiah, verse 9, it says, "I say unto you, that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which had been prepared from the foundation of the world, that hereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping the commandments and continue in faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which shall ever be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. This is one of the greatest promises we have from the Lord, is that way of atonement, the way of salvation that we have. Because we know that He came to make that atonement for us. And without that, we'd be lost. And my point in bringing this forth would be, if we put our trust in the Lord, then we are, this atonement is available for us through baptism and remission of sins. Let's see, what else did I have for this? This is just one of the greatest promises we have. I'm about done, I guess. This brings me to my main point. And hopefully you can see what I'm trying to do here. Sometimes we forget to trust in God. At least sometimes in my life I forget that God knows best and is concerned with our lives. And that if we only trust in Him and the plan He has for us, and not to do our own thing or our own will, you know, giving our will to Him, trusting that He knows what He's doing, that we will be more happy and content with our earthly situation, our earthly life. It doesn't mean that sometimes it won't be difficult, because there are going to be temptations and times of trial, but our Lord, He will guide our steps. That's about all I have. It's not too bad, I guess. About the longest I've ever preached, I think. I thought this would be a good topic. You know, basically what I'm trying to get out of this is to trust the Lord. And kind of a brief synopsis of it would be, let's see. Trusting in God, that's the main thing. Then trusting that not in riches or the arm of flesh. Number three would probably be God's way is proven and tried. You know, it's been tested for us, and if you want to test Him, you can, because He'll come through for you. Also, not fearing what man can do to you. Also, the promises that we have and that we've been given. That's about all I have time to say, I guess, or all I have to say. But thank you for your time. Hopefully you get something out of it and it wasn't all gobbledygook or whatever, and can understand what I'm trying to say. But anyway, thank you.